May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. The poet John Keats, writing in the early 19th century, said the following: "When old age shall this generation waste, thou shalt remain in midst of other woe. Then ours a friend of man to whom thou sayest, beauty is truth, truth beauty. That is all ye know on earth, and all ye need to know. Beauty is truth, truth beauty." In the 21st century, what is truth? What is most true for you? Where does your personal truth reside? What is the truth of Christian relationships? For the next several Sundays, we are going to examine together the theological nature and truth of what constitutes a Christian relationship. And this time, this brief sermon time, will be both head and heart oriented, and especially focus upon the way that we can live this out. How do we live this out, our Christian relationships, practically, day to day? Webster's New World Dictionary defines truth simply as a being true, specifically sincerity, honesty, conformity with fact, and correctness. What does the gospel of Jesus Christ say about truth? Listen to this passage. "Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, 'If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free.'" You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Christ proclaims in words and actions that it is living in the truth of his word that makes us truly free. That true freedom can, in fact, be a reality for your life. That you can experience what it is to be truly free. And this becomes for us, if you will, the foundation upon which we must build all of our relationships. And of course, I can say this very easily from the pulpit, but we know it's lived out with great complexity and difficulty. Just think for a moment of how many different instances of untruthfulness you have experienced in the relationships of your life. Think for a moment of the past, perhaps the present. Right now, we are inundated. I was sorry to see them come to Kentucky now at this level. We're inundated with political commercials. Several weeks ago, when Alan and I were in Ohio, that was already happening there because that's considered a swing state, and one after another. Well, right now, no matter where you are politically, there's a political commercial, I'm sure, that upsets you. Because all of them seem to weigh heavily on the side of untruthfulness. And so we see that, our children see that. You see partial truths, write out lies. And perhaps even more painful for us, though, is to recall those times of our own untruthfulness. And untruthfulness is not a mistake. Yesterday, we saw a wonderful mistake at diocesan convention. It was the only one. It was a beautifully run convention, which I'll say something about in the election of our new bishop in the announcements today. But it was a precious moment after the new bishop had been elected, Doug Hahn. Our interim bishop, Chilton, was sitting at the dais, and it is protocol then to call the candidate that's been elected. And so once we figured out how to get the cell phone working with the microphone, she dials and she says, "Hello, is this Doug Hahn? This is the Bishop of Lexington calling." And you hear like all kinds of confusion, and the person doesn't know who she is or why she's calling, and she says, "I'm sorry, I have the wrong number." And all I thought was, could you imagine if she had said, "You're the new bishop of Lexington"? We did get Bishop-elect Doug Hahn on the phone right thereafter. So it's different than making a mistake when we are untruthful. So you and I have to have a common understanding of the importance of truth, because in any Christian relationship, this must be our starting point. You have to desire to have truth in your relationships. And here is sort of the kicker in that. You don't have to get it from the other person. In fact, you can't control it from the other person, whomever that is. But you yourself have to desire truth in your relationship with that person. Your life is full of relationships. We have a relationship with God and Jesus Christ, with spouses, partners, parishioners, friends, neighbors, co-workers, students, teachers, our children, and family members. We're all in relationship here today simply by being in the same church and in the same service. Whether we're visiting or whether we're a member, we right now are in relationship, and almost every single action we take or words that we speak in some way touches upon one of those relationships. In fact, I dare say that we really can't act or speak without it affecting a relationship. Dr. Gary Smalley, in his book, The DNA of Relationships, writes the following. He says, "We have a relationship crisis today. A lifelong friendship goes sour. A teenager runs away from home. Co-workers quarrel. One leaves the company. Girlfriends and boyfriends split up. Adult siblings stop talking to each other for years. A soldier returns home from defending country and abuses his wife. A marriage of 15 years shatters in divorce. A pastor's marital infidelity splits the church. Two students estranged from friends and society assassinate a dozen schoolmates and then end their own lives." And then, referring to 9/11, he says, 19 terrorists wreak havoc on a country, killing thousands of innocent people. Could it be that regard for truth has been greatly diminished in the 21st century, in both our society, our church, and in relationships? And can we as Christians and as a church desire truth as a way that transforms us, as a way that transforms our lives? For the last several Sundays, our gospel readings have been from the Gospel of John, and specifically from the 6th chapter, and its focus upon Jesus as the living bread of heaven, that to eat this bread and drink of this cup is to abide in Christ and for Christ to abide in us. What we are about to do in just moments at God's holy altar, as we hold out our hands to Christ, is to say to Christ, that we want that powerful truth of Christ to come into our lives, to come into our heart and soul and very being. We want to model truthfulness as best we can as a human being, as Christ in his perfection modeled it. A Christian relationship is one where you are always working on being truthful. And as we sang the psalm today, Psalm 111, the psalmist says the following words: "The works of his hands are faithfulness and justice. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, because they are done in truth and equity." Within Christian relationships, we accept the relevance of the commandments. In every single relationship, that first commandment, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of slavery, you shall have no other gods before me," is the one to which we must adhere and put front and center. That's the first of our relationships, before all others. And if we can live with this commandment as our base, with God always coming first, then we stand a better chance at being truthful in all of our relationships. And this is the beginning of what constitutes a Christian relationship. Amen.